Hi guys, just a quick notice. Due to the lockdown regulations and rules, we've had to record over Zoom. So, literally, apologise about the sound. But, without further ado, enjoy the episode.
Okay, we're rolling, guys.
Are the levels good?
You can get a little bit louder. You're right. T, say something.
Hi. My name's T.
Okay, that's decent.
Oh, love it, man. Welcome back, Dr. Leifa. you like a guest, man. You like a guest. Good to have you here, man. Good to have you here.
I'm not a guest.
Camel need to get closer.
I'm part of the podcast, even though I didn't appear on the NAC thing, but it's okay.
My G. Dog.
Cam was rolled, man, on that. I was like, wow.
I was in the comments though. I was answering all the queries.
Oh wait,
yeah, she was in the comments. She was doing all PR in the comments. She was doing them.
What were some of the queries?
I was responding so quickly. Someone asked if it was an all male podcast. I said no.
Oh okay.
It's not.
We need to get Juliet in as well into some podcasts.
Yeah.
Girl like Julie.
Juliet.
Yeah.
Really, we're not the podcast.
What am I trying to do?
This is why we can't take you anywhere, Rose.
Trust me, it's true, you know. These American strippers nowadays.
Trust me.
Come off Instagram, man. What are you doing?
Who's on Insta?
How are you seeing these American strippers?
I was born on Insta. Dems is my playing field.
Wait, hold on. You were born in what, like 90?
Cam, get closer.
Oh. Yeah, 94.
94, ain't it?
Guys are old.
Yeah.
What's up?
But if I was born in 94, I would have been a year older than Alvin.
Yeah. Oh right, yeah, you're 95.
A 95, oh, baby.
Yeah. Okay.
I would have been a pensioner from day.
Don't call me a pensioner.
Hey, when are we?
You're gonna have to say that again. It started clipping. Say that again.
Nah, Cameron called you a pensioner.
I'm not a pensioner.
I never called Alvin a pensioner. Alvin,
listen. Listen to the last episode.
Alvin was using the words I heard that from.
In the team.
Yeah, it was the episode. Last episode.
You know what? Alvin did his best in that NEC thing.
You know, man. The pauses were literally real.
I had to keep my face straight. When he said analytics, he said analytics, and then he caught himself. He was like, "Rah!" I'm going too deep into this. You know what I mean?
Literally, it's bad because like we couldn't like speed him along. You know what I mean? So I just
yeah. Like come on. You know what I mean?
That's quite brief, though.
There was one point he said, oh, it'll only be a quick point. And then I looked, and like 3 minutes had passed. 3 minutes.
Oh, Alvin, man. Love it.
Oh, God.
People finally understand what we're about, you know. Yeah. I don't call people that thinking, it's not that bad.
It wasn't. Was it that? Okay, maybe it was that bad. Hello from the edit, it's Future Alvin.
Yeah, so it's Cameron here.
Hi guys, Justin here.
Hey, it's your girl T here on After Sundown Podcast.
And you're locked into the After Sundown Podcast.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Sit back and enjoy.
Enjoy.
It's about to be a mazzoline still.
Alvin's Wi-Fi was a bit mad.
Yeah, it was my Wi-Fi. I've just changed the router.
We can't hear you now.
You can't hear me?
He's probably
No, we can't hear you now.
Uno momento.
You're on mute.
No, he's saying 1 minute. I think he's saying on purpose.
Okay, am I back?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it was my wife. I've just changed it to the other modem.
Must be nice to have two.
You know what I mean?
It's not nice, it's necessary.
It's necessary.
It's not a sign of luxury. Sign of necessity.
Alright, do you want me to make that point again?
Yeah, in fact, I've just realised we've jumped into it with no, we haven't really like with no intro or no, like we've gone into
it's
it like dry
conclusion.
Yeah, So, I was thinking, like, let's not start again, but like, we can recut things.
But you read the whole intro.
I know, but I've realized we haven't really properly introduced the topic. Like, we haven't discussed what is faith, what is acceptance. We haven't done any of that.
We went straight.
But this chapter is getting to it, so we have to talk about the chapter.
I mean, we could do it like that. I was just thinking, though, when it's like the listeners coming into the middle of the conversation as opposed to.
Yeah, but it's talking about faith. Like, it's not like the chapter's not talking about faith and acceptance. That we're talking about.
Would you say that we've introduced it? Would you say that would the listener be able to know that we're talking about faith and acceptance?
If Ellen G. White, didn't write this in phonetical order, then she's silly.
No. What I'm saying is,
you read her words.
I know, would the listener be able to say we're talking about faith and acceptance?
Let's start from the beginning, because I get what Alvin is saying in terms of compared to the other ways you've done it. You've talked about obviously like personal experience. It did sound a bit conclusion like. I get what you're saying.
All right, cool.
But who's gonna make this fun, Justin?
Welcome back to another episode.
That was cheeky. That was very cheeky.
That was hella cartoony. But welcome back to another episode, guys, of After Sundown. Okay. Season 3, episode 6. Today we're gonna be tackling faith. I do not know the title of the
chapter. Hey, right.
Faith and acceptance. Pew pew pew. By Ellen G. White. Obviously, if you are listening, also follow along in Steps to Christ. That's Steps to Christ. Chapter six. Yeah. Faith and acceptance. So yeah, who read it? Who read the chapter?
Clearly not you, because you didn't know the title.
That don't mean nothing. I didn't know the title last week. Last week.
It's true. Exactly. But you didn't read it though. You didn't read it because we had to.
That's not the point. But that's not the message we're promoting.
Oh yeah. Okay. Sorry. Anyway.
But yeah, you read it. You found it interesting. What is faith?
I've read it before.
Honestly.
So I was gonna ask you guys, how strong do you think your faith is?
Wow. Okay. So two good questions.
Too strong. We're on the wrong things though.
What do you mean?
Oh, that's an incriminating question, you know, to be fair. I'm joking. Now, but do you know, like, when you're focused on other stuff rather than like your faith or your work with God, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just those little stuff there, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously now you have to like kind of put yourself on a kind of straight and narrow plane that like without God, nothing that you do could technically be possible. Like it can be possible, but like, you know what I mean, it's just following the right path rather than taking the scenic route. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Mm. So yeah. Anyone else want to answer the question?
Which question? Go on, Cam.
I think my faith. If I had to rank my faith, I'd say. I want it to be obviously like a 10 out of 10, but at the moment it's probably like a 3 or a 4. Like, I feel like practically I have the knowledge and I'm like kind of like skating by at the moment, but you know, if like obviously if a real crisis was really to happen, would I kind of have like the same resilience as Job? Probably not. So yeah. I think that's where I want my relationship with God to be. Any disaster in my life, I want to know that God's there in it, and I don't think it's there at the moment, but I think the awareness that it's not there is a good thing.
The awareness that yeah. What's not there, that
my level of faith isn't where, not that I want it to be necessarily, although that is included in it, but where it needs to be in terms of where God wants it to be. So yeah,
I think I can second that to a large degree, that it's definitely not a 10 out of 10. I'd love it to be a 10 out of 10 as well. I I do take solace in the fact that there's a verse that says that in our God's strength is made perfect in our weakness, something like that. And I'll try and look for it. I think it's in 2 Corinthians, maybe chapter 12 or 1 Corinthians chapter 12, something like that. And there's it's interesting the description that Christ makes of us only needing faith the size of a mustard seed. There's something. What is faith? Because we're talking about this as though, like, but what is faith?
Talifa answered the question. I need Talifa to answer the question first as well.
About
what?
It varies, because sometimes I think my faith is really, really, really strong, and then I'm faced with something and I'm automatically just going to like human panic mode, where it's like, if I did have faith, then these sorts of things wouldn't like faze me, essentially, because I'm saying to, you know, God, like, you know, I trust you, you know, everything is in your control. Then he sends something my way, I'm like, I didn't ask for that, like, what is this, like, like, what's going on kind of thing. So it's almost like I don't remember the prayers I'm actually saying, or I don't believe in them enough when I'm saying it. I'm just saying it,
or believe in the person you're praying to enough, because I find I believe that what I'm praying for can happen, but do I believe in God enough to, do I believe that God can do what I'm asking him to do?
It's mad, isn't it? And then we use all these magnificent words for God, and like we sing all these magnificent words for God, and
omnipotent,
like, actually...
omnipresent.
Mm-hmm. I remember when we learned that, you know, in primary school, and that, I remember when we learned those words, and like, obviously, I was proud at one point because I knew how to spell all of them. Obviously, not now, but like, I knew how to spell all of them. You know what I mean? But no, but in a sense, those words are powerful words, isn't it? And I think we don't. The fact that all of those words are as true as the other, or loving, or knowing, or seeing, or powerful, you know what I mean? So, like,
2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says, 12, verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, verse 10, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I am become a fool in glory, yea, have compelled... Anyway, I'll stop there. But yeah, I think you had a comment.
I was gonna just say, okay, I want us to, like, obviously the title is why is it that, like, because it could have been faith and weakness, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's, because I don't just want us to focus on faith when we're talking on it, like, what's the acceptance part? Like,
well,
or actually, no, when you first read it, like the title, like, did you have any thoughts about the title, like, faith and acceptance?
See, whilst Alvin's thinking, I kind of thought off when I read the title, I thought the acceptance part was going to be like, you know, which, to be fair, it did kind of touch on it, but accepting that we are sinners and almost like, this is how we are, you're not alone kind of thing. But in, you know, sometimes, I guess in society, the message with acceptance is almost like, that's how it is, you shouldn't do anything about it. That's who I am, you know, that kind of response. Christian son is, okay, that might be how you are, but there is something that you can do about it, because that's where God steps in and does something and changes you. So the acceptance from a human point of view is, this is who I am, but the acceptance from a Christian point of view is, this is who I am, but God can change me. And I think that's the difference between how we are set apart, I guess, from the rest of the world, because we believe that though we are born into sin, it doesn't just stop there.
Sin doesn't define us.
That's powerful.
We love to pick and choose when it does, but that's
you're mad, you know. I missed you, by the way.
It's you too, Cam. And Justin and Alvin, even though Justin is not reciprocating that kind of love, but it's all right.
Trust me.
No, we've missed you. We've missed you. We really
have. You know what? Alvin's signal's so good now that I thought he was frozen for a little bit. Wow. Like, he was smiling and he was like, and I was like, right, your Wi-Fi is good because it's even getting the little twitches. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, is it?
Your Wi-Fi is good still. What is it? Hertz and that?
I have no idea.
That's a good store.
Bandwidth. That's okay. I see.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know. Actually, it's a combination of all of them. So when it's talking about acceptance, what is it that it's what is being acceptance of what, by whom, and of what?
I think the acceptance. Well, when I was reading it, the acceptance was talking about us accepting God's hand. So I think, you know, as we've been reading through this book, the chapters have compounded on each other in it, and like it's got to this chapter now, and like it's taken lessons from the consecration part, the repentance and so on, you know what I mean? So like it's like what Talif was saying earlier, it's like we've got to this stage now, okay, faith and acceptance. Accepting what, and I believe in this chapter is talking about God's hand, and then I'll give a few examples later on it. I think that is, but yeah.
Okay, fair. Shall we dive into the chapter a bit more then, in terms of like any, like I'm gonna read the first, just the first paragraph as quick as I can, and then any comments off that. As your conscience has been quickened by the Holy Spirit, you have seen something of evil. You have seen something of the evil of sin, of its power, its guilt, its woe, and you look upon it with abhorrence. And abhorrence basically means disgust. You feel the sin. You feel that sin has separated you from God, that you are in bondage to the power of evil. The more you struggle to escape, the more you realize your helplessness. Your motives are impure, your heart is unclean. You see that your life has been filled with selfishness and sin. You long to be forgiven, to be cleansed, to be set free. Harmony with God, likeness to Him. What can you do to obtain it? Any comments on that?
So, I think there... he's talking about faith, and then that question is talking about what can you do to obtain it. That's a question for acceptance. So the answer is, so what can you do to obtain it? Accept God's calling. That's what I think the question's.
He's basically posing the question: how do we obtain harmony with God and likeness with God, and the thing that I found interesting in it was like, imagine coming to the realization that sin is bad, and that like the things that we do, how we think is evil, coming to that realization and then going, okay, what now? Like, what's the launch point from that? Okay, we've realized that I've realized this of myself, and I've realized how evil sin is, or I've all of that, and I want to be like God, and I want to be at one with God again. How does that happen?
Yeah.
Any comments?
That is deep, bro. Deep.
Cause he like deep. Imagine if Ellen White left it there. Like, nah, or if she, but it's obviously she didn't, but it is one of the most crucial questions, like, and it's a question that I know that I asked myself, and it's a question that several people have asked themselves. You realize all of this, and then you go, well, okay.
You know what? I feel like this is the question that everyone asks themselves if they're aware of sin and they've been sinning for a long time, and it, like, where, so like, there's either two roads that you go down in it.
is either I don't care no more, mm-hmm. or I want salvation so much, but I'm just caught up in this and caught up in that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. What can I do? I don't know what to do. I've tried everything. I've tried meditating. I've tried, you know, doing a cartwheel, doing a backflip, you know what I'm saying? And nothing's working, you know what I mean? Like, what can I do now? So, something that I found interesting before I cut off was the part just underneath it. So it says, it is the peace that you need, heaven's forgiveness, and the peace and love in the soul. Money cannot buy it, intelligence cannot procure it, wisdom cannot attain it. So, like, I always used to think, okay, I don't want knowledge, I want wisdom. And I thought wisdom was like the way that you become this like holistic person, but I quickly realized that even wise people make stupid decisions, hence Solomon, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So, like, like, there's nothing that you can do to, like, okay, all of us here, cause I remember, I think it was last episode, or it was like another time where we said, okay, we want to know more about the Bible, we want to learn this chapter, we want to be able to recite this, but even that won't get us to the place, it won't earn us a place in heaven. Not, you understand, like the money that we procure, like, so even if we got to feed the homeless, you know what I'm saying, we couldn't feed 1 million homeless people, that's not going to get us into heaven. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, because obviously we believe that we don't get righteousness by works, we get righteousness through grace and mercy and sanctification. You know what I mean? There's nothing that you can actually do. The doing comes after you get filled, you know what I mean? Doesn't come before. It's kind of like jumping the gun. But
that's my thoughts. Nice, man. Imagine the craziest thing. Okay, you've been speeding, and you've been
allegedly.
Let's say you've been speeding, and you do not know if what flashed behind you. You think that you've got the brakes on time. You thought, okay, I've been speeding, let me put the brakes on. You've put the brakes on. You're hoping you've put the brakes on time. And you don't know whether the flash that you saw behind you was the sunlight hitting the window of a car, the mirror of a car, or if it was a car just flashing, or if it was the actual camera that's there. Bro. You have no idea. Yeah?
Bro, one second.
Go on.
I got a little... So, like, one time, I was just with friends, you know, who's gallivanting, you know. It was coming back. And I must have got flashed. And I was like, I saw the flash, everything, my bridges saw the flash in the car or whatever. I was like, that's not me. That's not me. I kept going. I went about my merry day, you know. We had a great evening / night. Woke up the next morning, you know, a few days passed, brown letter. I convinced myself that much that the flash wasn't there, that it didn't exist, you know what I'm saying? That didn't happen to me, because Cameron can't get flash. But I got flash. That's my little thing.
Mine is, so in my stories, it's a made up parable, I guess. In this one, it's like, you're not at peace until one of two things happen. And you're at greater peace when you're not at peace until either you get that brown envelope and you're like, okay, well, it was me and I was speeding, and you're relieved, you're like, okay, it was me. Or better still, you're relieved when you're like, snap, it's 6 months and that envelope hasn't gone. I'm not getting that speeding ticket or those three.
What's going on?
No, listen, mate, I guess all I'm trying to illustrate is, like, if, say, you did get that ticket, let's say you do get the ticket and it comes through, but then when you see it, you're like, oh, snap, that's not my car, that's someone else's car. or that wasn't me driving. It's my car, but I'm not the one who was driving. It was someone else who was driving.
Driving the car.
Right. And then...
That was sweet to you.
But, like, all it illustrates is there's a peace that comes over you as a result of that. And what's interesting is... This is a bit of a dumb story to tell on the point that I'm making, but I guess it makes sense. It may make sense. It is peace... When she says, it is peace that you need. Heaven's forgiveness and peace and love in the soul. As opposed to like when that is happening, it's not, you're not worried about, well, you are worried about the money, you are worried about the points, you are worried about all of those things, but the thing that relieves you is the peace, so that even if you get the points, you're like, okay, I've got the points now, but I'm no longer anxious.
Put yourself out of your misery. Now you know what the end result is, essentially.
Yeah, but it's interesting that money cannot buy it. Intellect, as you're saying, intelligence can't buy it, wisdom can't buy it, cannot obtain it. You can never hope by your own efforts to secure it. It's a gift that is offered you, but God offers it to you as a gift, without money and without price. That is so incredible. So when we ask the question, what is it that we're accepting? What is it that we're accepting? I think one of the things that we accept with regards to this faith and acceptance is peace and heaven-sent forgiveness. Like, that's one of the things that we're accepting, and we choose either to reject it or to accept it. But it is, the only things that you can accept are gifts and, I don't know, maybe punishments, but in this case, it's a gift.
Not gifts. Gifts are the only thing you can accept. You
don't accept a punishment. You're given a punishment.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether you want it or not.
Yeah. Okay, let's keep going for it. Anything else stick out to you two? Like in the middle? Like, Justin's not even here at the moment.
I'm right here.
No, my Wi-Fi was mugging me off a bit.
No.
Sure, blame the Wi-Fi.
One of those, I was laughing because I thought it was Alvin's. I was like, one sec, it's mine.
Oh. No, I'm on gold now.
I was hotspotting myself to make life easier.
Alright.
Oh yeah.
No, like, man. Yo, it's, I remember one time I was stopped from doing this by my drama teacher at school. The police wanted to do like a promotional, it was like some video, and they were looking for people to audition, and I nearly auditioned for a part where I'd have played a criminal, and she's like, "No, don't do that." Cuz like she's like, "Don't do that. Number one, you'll be typecast. Number two, is that who you want to play?" I was like, "Good point." And then I didn't play it. I was preparing for the part as well.
You should have done it, man.
Nah.
Good teacher. Were they black or white?
No, they were white. And I was like,
fair play.
Yeah. And I didn't even think about that. I didn't think about like any of that. And yeah, you'll be playing this part, and you're not acting it for like TV, where it's clear that you're acting. It's like a thing where it's not for TV. It's for it will be used. Yeah, a person could misconstrue it as being real, and you don't want that. So I was like, I didn't like it at the time, but
I feel like that would have almost reinforced the stereotype as well. It's not. I don't think that's a useful video to make by the police. You know what I mean?
No, but like, it was multiple people auditioning for it, so it wasn't just me.
No, I know, but like, in terms of like playing that type of role in it.
True.
But yeah, anyway.
So
later in the, I think it's not the middle, it is, but it isn't. So in the middle, it talks about the paralytic at Bethsaida. And yeah, Does anyone know about that story?
Say that again.
The paralyzed on in Beside.
Bethsaida.
Salvation.
Faith and acceptance. So, it says, from the simple Bible account of Jesus healed the sick, we learn something about how to believe in him for forgiveness of sins. Let's turn to the story of the paralytic in Bethsaida. The poor sufferer was helpless. He had used his limbs for 38 years, yet Jesus bade him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. The sick man might have said, Lord, if thou wilt make me whole, I will obey thy word. No, he believed in Christ's word, believed that he was made whole, and he made the effort at once. He willed to walk, and he did walk. So, I kind of wanted to explore what Ellen said in terms of basically she puts a statement in the middle.
What Mrs. Say, like, White said. Carol.
What Ellen said, bro.
Put some respect on her name.
RG.
That's her name. She's dying now, so.
I mean,
she can't ask us what she wants to be addressed as.
Trust me. I'm coming back as no ghost on her because she believes in State of the Dead.
I don't think it's the fact that she believes in the State of the Dead that she's not coming back. As a ghost. What are we talking about?
Anyway.
Listen, right, Satan so could Samuel her.
Don't do. You see, bro. Shut up, man. Anyway, yeah.
Anyway, so she puts a statement in the middle, which I thought was quite interesting. So she says, "The sick man might have said, Lord, if thou wilt make me whole." So I think in that statement, she's saying something a lot, like, bigger. So what do you think the equivalent statement of what we would say in that situation is?
This is a classic. Oh, if you'll do this for me, God, then, you know, I'll make sure I go to Sabbath school. Or if you do this for me, like, I'll never go back to that place again. You don't want me to go. I'll never go mess with that girl. I'll never go meet up with that guy. Like,
Okay, there's a story
that... My mouth was running.
No, I saw this thing where it was just like, obviously a classic, you know, having sex before marriage. And it was just like, especially from the girl's point of view, where it's like she thinks she might be pregnant. It's like, oh, Lord, please just don't make me pregnant. Please, not this time, just so that I promise I will not have sex again. Please, I'm begging you. I was just like, lol. Because that's what you do when you need God and you're desperate. That's the types of prayers you'd be saying.
Which are stupid prayers, in my opinion. Like, but if you're pregnant, you're pregnant. If you're pregnant, you're pregnant. What's God going to do? reverse virgin. Mary.
I don't think it's the virginity. I think it's true.
Like, it's I listened to a sermon today on the way home from work by Cameron Devasia, and it's in a series of the Book of Acts, and she talks about how he talks about how there's a moment when Paul when Paul receives prophecies that he should not go to Jerusalem. And it's told to him by the Spirit through these several prophets, and he still goes, sort of against the will of God. And then he ends the sermon by talking about and by saying God did not revoke the consequences of his decision to disobey him, so that God would have wanted Paul to have lived, to have done, he didn't want Paul to go to Jerusalem, where he would have ended up, where he ended up, eventually it ended up with his death, sooner than as far as I can understand it, God wanted it to happen, and certainly sooner than Paul wanted it to happen. But God did not revoke the consequences of Paul's action, even though God would have wanted to, if that means, or even though it, mm-hmm. you know
yeah,
what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The other thing that it seems to say to me is that faith is active, so that when God says, "Get up and take up your bed and walk," if you don't do that, that shows a lack of faith. So that with that, that's the pool of Bethesda. When you read Hebrews chapter 11, every single action of faith in that chapter is accompanied by action. In fact, the action is the evidence of the faith.
Well, yeah. Is it action or is it acceptance?
The action that the person does, I think, is the evidence of the faith. The acceptance is, like, I think we're going to, as we go through it, we're going to see that the acceptance is several things. Like, number one is the peace. And then it's going to be a few other things as we go through it, because there were other things that are highlighted.
To accept something, no, is an action. You know what I mean? So if I'm accepting something from you, Alvin,
yeah,
I have to put out my hand in order to do that. You know what I mean? Like you can, like, the guy, like, so the difference in statements is, so Ellen says, yo, the guy might have said, Lord, if thou will make me whole, I will obey thy word. One sec. And then the other statement, he says, what does he say? But no, he believed in Christ and believed that the word, no, she doesn't put another statement, but he just acted from that statement.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Sense. Yeah. So that, but, like Hebrews 11, in fact, it gives us a quick definition as well of exactly what faith is. So verse 1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So things that are to happen, and the hope of events that will take place. For by it the elders obtained a good report. But what I want to jump to is all these faith statements, that people did, like, so it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So by faith Abel did something. He offered the exact sacrifice that God required. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, so this is what he did. This is the result of his faith is, before he was translated, what did he do? Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So faith and the action is the evidence of faith. So that when the Bible says a faith without works is dead, now it puts into context what faith is. Faith, which means that a faith with works is a living faith. If faith without works is dead, then the opposite is a faith with works, or a faith alive. With evidence is a living faith. So that when by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place where he should afterwards receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went.
That's what I'm saying, no? That's what I'm saying,
not knowing where he was going.
So that's what I'm trying to get at. Like, acceptance, I'm not trying to sandwich it in there, but I think it's there as well, because he's talking about obeying. You know what I mean? Like, there's an element of, okay, yeah,
accepting God's word, like, accepting what God wants.
Accepting what God wants us to do. You know what I'm saying? And like, okay, obviously God's given this child to Abraham, but no, Abraham has the free will to do what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to obey God. He didn't have to accept what he said as fact. You know what I mean? I don't feel like I'm trying to sandwich it in there. I feel like it's it's in there, but now I'm seeing this word acceptance now is also in there as well. Like, this guy had to, beforehand, he had to go through this process of, you know, having faith, and now it's been tested. He's accepting what Christ is saying to him.
Okay.
Because if you reread that statement, so the statement that Ellen says in terms of, Lord, if thou will make me whole, that's not a statement of acceptance. That's like, okay.
I would say it's not a statement of faith. Is what I would
say.
Yeah,
I know, but you have to give me this in order for me to do this. Whereas you could have just accepted what Christ had said to you.
Okay, I understand. I understand it in that context then. Oh, I understand it when you say it like that.
Yeah.
I get, to me, the other thing that, with regards to acceptance, that I saw was in the third paragraph, where it starts off by saying, "How fast can I go?" Okay, it starts off by saying, "So you've confessed your sins and in you've confessed your sins and in heart put them away. You have resolved to give yourself to God. So you've made these decisions. You've resolved to give yourself to God. Now go to Him and ask that He will wash away your sins and give you a new heart." So here's the so to me, the way I saw it is the first thing that we're accepting is peace and heaven's forgiveness. Now it seems to me that the next thing that we're accepting is a new heart that God wants to give us. Then believe that He has done this because He has promised. This is the lesson which Jesus taught whilst He was on earth, that the gift which God promises us, we must believe we do receive, and it is ours. Jesus healed the people of their diseases when they had faith in His power. He helped them in the things which they could see, thus inspiring them with confidence in Him, considering things which they could not see. Wow. Okay. Wow. So God helped them with things that they could see, inspiring them to be confident in things which they could not see, leading them to believe in His power to forgive sins.
One second. I heard, like, you know, like in like the first, you know, in the first ever chapter where it's talking about like what we can see, like in terms of like what's that chapter called? Sorry, God's love for man, and it's talking about God's revealing in nature. So like, we see all this stuff around us that confirms to us that God is real, but unless we actually like deep it and like actually like start believing in that stuff, when the stuff that we can't see comes along, we won't even believe that. You know what I mean? So I just kind of picked out there's a little part where you said that, innit,
bro? You know what I mean? Can I spin off what you just said?
Yeah, go on.
It's so crazy that, like, so there's a song that I'd started writing. Have I written it? No. It's a song that I finished, actually, not even started writing.
You know,
it's a song
you two are bad mind, you know. Talifer and Rose are bad mind, bro. You can't.
Firstly, Rose, what is it? Rose as in the wine, Rose? Is that what it's meant to be?
No.
Oh.
It's in the Rose.
Who? What is it meant to be?
It's Rose.
Oh, just Rose. Rose, man. When Adrian saw the screen, he was like, alcoholic. He walked out.
Wow.
I was gonna say something
about Kai.
Are you gonna expose Adrian like that, though? Like,
oh. I'm introducing beef.
By the way, knows that Adrian drinks rosé.
Listen.
He's gonna be fuming when he hears that, you know.
Listen, there's things that I know that people don't know that I know.
Thirdly,
well, anyway, people are changed people, innit? Amen.
So if you're hiding out there, guys, Alvin knows your secrets.
This is not going in the podcast, by the way. This is.
I don't want you to edit.
Who, me?
I'm joking.
Oh, okay.
I won't incriminate, man.
This whole bit out. Just take it out. But what I was gonna say is, so with your comment about so the song that I wrote was so you were talking about nature and how nature reveals something of God that we that's tangible that we see. It also reveals something that we don't see. So notice this comment, and then I'll say the lyrics of a little bit of that song. So
sorry, where are you reading as well? Like, cause it's like
so. I'm on 49. I'm on paragraph 3, page 4. So SE 49, and three.
Okay, cool.
So notice this bit. So number one. Jesus healed the people of their diseases. Jesus healed the people of their diseases when they had faith in his power. He helped them in things that they could see. So in healing their physical diseases, he helps them so their faith in him is growing. And he's healed something that's physical and tangible. A person who had leprosy now no longer has leprosy. In the Old Testament, those who were being bitten by the serpents, when they looked up at the serpent on the pole, by faith were healed, right? So Jesus does these things that they can see, leading them to believe in his power to forgive sins. Something that you can't see. Is that not crazy? So by healing their diseases, now in doing that, he leads them to believe in his power to forgive sins, something that we just have to take by faith. That when God says our sins are forgiven, by faith we must believe that our sins are forgiven. So that there's a song, so the song that I wrote, the lyrics were, from the words you spoke, the mountains rose, the greatest oak and tender rose.
Bars.
It's like copyright, so no one can take these lyrics, okay?
We'll see.
Oh, from the words you spoke, the mountains wrote the greatest oak and tender rose. Oh, I can't remember the lyrics.
It's okay.
Wow.
Anyway, the point that I was making was that, like, the essentially, the point of that verse, which will come to me at some point, is the same creative power that God has to have created a mountain and to have created plants and me and you and everything is the same power that he has to create in us a clean heart, or the same power that he has in us to, so that when it, creating a clean heart in us or a new heart in us is not something that's that we see, but it is something that is real and going on, but it's not something that you see with your eyes like, oh, here's a new heart. Do you know what I mean? And it gives us the faith to believe the Lord is actually creating in me a new heart. That was essentially the point. So, Justin, you can edit that to make it sound beautiful.
Yeah. I was just going to say, do you think then that the reason why we don't necessarily believe or have that faith that we can, you know, our sins are forgiven and things like that is because we haven't seen the miracles that they would have seen at that time?
I want to flip that and say, oh well, two things. Number one, I'll say, notice what it says, that Jesus healed the people of their diseases when they had faith in his power. So that when they didn't have faith in his power, they weren't healed. In fact, there's a time when there's a in the Gospels, I'll try and remember where it is. I'll look it up. Jesus does not go into Nazareth because they had no faith. And I want to find the, like, but essentially Jesus doesn't do any miracles in Nazareth because Nazareth had no faith in him.
Well, I was going to say, like, on the flip side of what you're saying, like, God still performed miracles in the Old Testament, but the people may not have had complete faith in him, you know what I mean? So, like, yeah. So I think there can be both in it, like, what we see that just because God performed miracles, like he made food fall from heaven essentially, you know, there was like balls of fire, you know what I mean? There was loads of like miracles that happened and like supernatural events that happened in the Old Testament, but we see that it's not linked to how strong your belief is. It's like the opposite. It's like,
what's that? Say that again. Sorry, that last.
So you seeing miracles doesn't link to how much faith you have, or you even experiencing them doesn't mean that
you'll have an increased faith. Because
I think miracles aren't the reward.
100%, and they miracles don't, and the they won't necessarily. It's true that they may increase your faith, but it's not necessarily the case that they will. So that, for example, definitely. When the Pharisees saw all the miracles that Jesus performed, still they would say later on, if you are the Son of God, come off the cross. If you are the Son of God, XYZ. Even having seen all the miracles that Christ performed at his trial, they asked, Christ was put under oath, and it was asked of him, are you the Son of God? To which he answers, as you say. So like, even though they saw everything that Christ did, it did not necessarily mean that their faith was increased.
I think to add to that as well is, like, when you have faith, you look at things differently. So you're actively looking for the way in which God is leading in your life, because you know about the prayers that you've asked God for. Whereas, like, say for example with the Pharisees, because they refused to believe, they didn't want to have that faith to believe, they constantly looked at Jesus as a problem. Like, why are you doing this now, troublemaker? He's not doing, he can't be the Messiah because of the lens that they had. So I think when you do adopt a lifestyle of faith, you do look at things differently, because you have that genuine change in your life. So you may question things, because you know that's our human nature, and the devil will constantly want to dampen our faith. But because you know where that faith comes from and your relationship with God, it does strengthen you to make sure that you see God essentially working in your life. So I think it's really important that we do that as Christians, like cultivate the lifestyle of faith so that you see things differently.
And obviously let's have it right as well, in terms of the Pharisees saw Jesus, and we will, like, in the future we will see someone like Jesus,
come on now,
performing like miracles, you know what I mean? Come, but just now, because someone can do great things doesn't mean they're of God, you know what I mean? So like, man need to be careful in just assuming that miracles are just of God, or supernatural things. Because even like, we see,
are you saying that there might be like false prophets, Cameron? Is that what you're saying? False prophets, and false, even a false 100%.
Christ, maybe. 100%. Nah, that's what there is gonna be, isn't it? Like a false, like the Bible teaches that, isn't it? Like, in terms of, like, there will be someone that comes, looks, maybe feels like Christ, you know what I mean? Like, you know, not in the way that we have it, you know, like the white man with the long hair, but he will resemble someone of divinity, you know what I mean, essentially, and he'll be handsome.
And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. So I'm reading from Matthew 13 verse 53 onwards. So and when he was come into his own country, so now he comes to his own hometown, as it were, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. So the only place where, like, the place where a prophet is most likely to be disrespected or to have no honor is where they come from. And then it finishes off by saying, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief.
Mad thing.
It's crazy.
Mad thing that is.
Mm. But
anyway. I want to go into, like, kind of like the middle.
Go for it.
Oh, this is quite. Oh, I didn't actually realize it was a shot. Sorry, I'm just trying to, like, find a bit.
That's all right.
Wow, I can't even find what I was looking for. Okay, here it was. Okay, we make or move our weaknesses or folly or sin, yeah, or sinfulness, and fall at his feet in penance. It's his glory to encircle us in his arms. So that's SC 52:2.
Oh, sorry. Can you go again? Sorry.
Okay, yeah, go on. So we may come with our weakness, our folly, our sinfulness, and fall at his feet in penance. In penitence, it is his glory to encircle us in his arms of his love and bind up our wounds to cleanse us from all impurity. So, like, yeah, I feel like it comes again in, like, you know, in the consecration part and in the repentance part. We have to be weak in order to allow God to be the one that ultimately is overcoming these, or helping us overcome these sins for us, in a sense, and be the one to step in. Because you know, a lot of the times, like, someone told me, like, I value strength a lot, and it's true. I think, you know, especially growing up, you know, you have to value strength, because you can't be seen as weak in it. You can't be seen as, you know, the one bawling because you got licked in the face or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be stone cold face as much as possible in it. Like, I'm not a killer or nothing, but, you know, like, these kind of toxic ways still get, you know, perpetrated. Yeah, so we just have to kind of let go, and I think that's the hardest, that's the part I'm kind of going through at the moment. Like, I feel like, you know, at the moment I find it hard to be weak in it. Yeah, I find it, yeah, hard to be dependent, especially even like so obviously man started uni, whatever,
man, and, like,
thanks anyway, yeah. yeah, man started uni, like, student finance ain't coming, bruv, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, it's a bit
like, I'm waiting. Student finance still ain't coming. I'm praying. Seems like nothing's happening in it. Finally, obviously, I've got a breakthrough, and then hopefully student finance should be coming soon, and it, God willing. Hey. So yeah. Obviously, I had to take active steps as well. But at one point, I thought I didn't even know what was gonna happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's been, like, other times where, you know, I've always kind of been, or I thought I've been in control of my own financial situation, innit? When things are going good, you know, you work and you're making money, you know what I mean? And you feel independent, but really you're always dependent, or you should be always dependent on God. And I think what I've noticed as well, the times where I've been most financially up, unfortunately, I haven't had the most faith at that time. Even though I might be doing stuff in church or doing stuff, you know, otherwise, like, that's probably when yeah, but I aim to make that more consistent, and hopefully, not hopefully, but will go up in it. Yeah, I don't know why my hand's doing that, but yeah.
I like the bit, the thing that I find interesting, I don't know, is as well as what you've just said, is what was it again? 52-3.
Yeah, 52-2.
52-2. Can hear, I don't think Mum knows that I'm recording.
Nah, I can't hear her.
Oh, okay. The other thing that I found really interesting is how that paragraph opens up, like, which can be such a struggle, and I know that it's something that has been a struggle for me sometimes, probably still is, to be honest. Let me say it still is.
About that part, but yeah, go on.
Oh man,
sorry.
Some seem to feel that they must be on probation, and must prove to the Lord that they are reformed before they can claim his blessing. Another thing that we must accept, innit? That's another thing that we can accept before we claim his blessing. But they may claim the blessing of God even now. They must, you know, one thing we do when we do that is rob God.
You need to stop there, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to make a quick comment there. Because the danger of not claiming the danger of not claiming the benefit from God now is that we rob God of doing what God wants to do in us. Something that we try to do, but we often forget we cannot do. Can a leopard change his spots? No, it can't. Like, why do I delay from coming to God? Why must I? I cannot reform myself. Only God can reform me. And yet here I am going, okay, let me reform myself in front of God, before God. What, number one, what would be left for God to do? Number two, only God can do it. Number three, I can't.
And so you find yourself actually, when you do that, you basically find yourself you think you're accepting, but you're not accepting, essentially. So what you've done is basically redundant, because it's just like wiped, it's cancelled it out, essentially.
Yeah.
So then you're back in the same position. You've actually made zero progress. Because then you're essentially going back to fixing it yourself, doing it yourself, looking to yourself, where it's like, actually you need to recognize that you're helpless in the situation and let God genuinely take control and let him do his work. And it's so hard for us as humans to accept, just because of the way how we are, like, every man for themselves, you're in your lane, I'm in my lane, like, you have all these subtle messages, like, constantly, like, being, like, fed into, like, our way of thinking. And it does affect our Christian journey, because it's like, sometimes I feel like I can't go to God. It's like, are you being seriously, like, he's already done seeing what you've done already, so what is your problem? Just go to him, like, he actually already knows. It's not like it's someone who I don't know, like he already knows. But it's, you know, it's the pride, it's the guilt, like all these different emotions, and it stops us from, like, essentially seeing clearly.
And here's the killer, they must have his grace, the Spirit of Christ, number two. So they must have his grace and the Spirit of Christ to help their infirmities, or they cannot resist evil. That's crazy. So we deny ourselves grace and the Spirit of Christ, who helps us, who helps our infirmities and helps us resist evil.
So I think when we pray, then, that I think for prayer, it's definitely, you definitely have to ask for the Spirit of God, innit? Like, there's no point, there's not, you know what, sometimes I don't know, I think, bruv, there's sometimes man sinned and that, and then like afterwards I think, I don't know, like what did I just pray for? Like, yeah, I did pray for forgiveness, but like what did I kind of just wasted my time because I didn't
mean it.
Not what is that, but also I didn't pray for the spirit of God. Like, okay. I said God forgive me, but I didn't ask for the Holy Spirit to come.
So overcoming.
Like, yeah. So I remember Talitha said, this is time ago, you said something about like we need to pray more, we need to like pray daily for the Holy Spirit, like make that a conscious effort. And I really do think that we don't ask for the Holy Spirit to come in us. And like, because without that, bro, what are we doing?
Mm.
Playing ourselves, really.
Yeah.
I mean, and playing ourselves.
The other thing I think is important that is to ask God to help us make the decision, because even that, and or even just asking God to help us want to make a decision for Him, even that comes from God. The fact that that Philippians 2 verse 13 maybe says. For it is God who works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Both to will, not just to do. It is God who works in us to will, that means to want to do, and to actually do what He wants us to do. It's God who does that. Like, on that, here's a paragraph. Someone comment on it. Here is where thousands fail. Or I'm going to change the words. Here is where many of us fail. We do not believe that Jesus pardons personally and individually. We do not take God at His word. It is the privilege of all who comply with the conditions to know for ourselves that pardon is freely extended for every sin. Put away the suspicion that God's promises are not meant for us. They are for every repentant transgressor. Strength and grace have been provided through Christ to be brought by ministering angels to every believing soul. None are so sinful that we cannot find strength, purity, and righteousness in Christ, who died for us. He is waiting to strip us of our garments stained and polluted with sin, and to put upon us the white robes of righteousness. He bids us live, not die. Any comments?
Now, to that point that you were saying before, like earlier, even before you continued, I feel like, oh wait, repeat what you said, that on the first bit of the paragraph, actually.
The bit of thousands, where thousands fail.
Yeah.
Thousands of us fail because we do not believe that Jesus pardons personally and individually. And we do not take God at His word.
Yeah, literally that right there. I feel like there's many factors in like, there's literally many factors that goes through people's mind when like, it comes to like repentance or believing that God actually does like forgive. One, we might be afraid to do it. There might be two, we actually just don't want to come. There's literally many factors. Obviously, like it does say that like obviously believing is like totally different. Like believing that there's faith or having faith is like a different vibe. Because obviously you'll get that when you get the Spirit of God basically. And obviously, without, like we were saying earlier, without the Spirit of God, like everything, nothing is possible, if that makes sense. Mm. So yeah, everything that you do believe is just like it's like dashing that rope of sand again. You know what I mean?
Mad thing.
Yeah.
Anyone else? I have one more thing, but or one more section, unless someone else has one.
No, I think mine was just gonna be Nah, one sec. Yeah, go on, go on.
One more thing that we ought to accept, or back onto like acceptance. Another thing that's worth thinking about when it comes to acceptance, so it's paragraph 2, I think, on page 53. So it says, it starts off with one of my favorite verses in all the world. I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies, says the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. Satan is ready to steal away the blessed assurance of God. He desires to take every glimmer of hope and every ray of light from the soul. But you must not permit him to do this. Do not give ear to the tempter, but say, Jesus has died that I might live. He loves me and wills not that I should perish. I have a compassionate heavenly Father, and although I have abused his love, oh Lord, have mercy. Although I have abused his love, though the blessings he has given me have been squandered, I will arise and go to my Father and say, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. The parable, if you guys recognize this is what the lost son Samaritan. Says, the part, yeah.
No, good Samaritan, what?
The prodigal son.
Wow.
The parable tells us how the wanderer will be received. When he was yet a great way, Lord God.
Can I read another verse to kind of like reinforce that?
Yeah, go ahead.
So it says here, he declares, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?
What's going on here?
Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget. So it's even saying that.
Wow.
It's possible for a woman to forget her sucking child, but it's absolutely not possible that God will forget you. So
does it actually say sucking child though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's talking about
child. I know. I'll just like submit my book. You go on.
Yeah. No. Because that's into. That's intimate,
there's evidence of that in the world itself, because like, for example, that 18-year-old that left their child in
Yeah. There's like there's neglectful mothers out here.
Our former illustrious Prime Minister left forgot to pick his children up from school. Or one of them, I think. Our illustrious what's his name? David Cameron. And then even have you seen the one of Kim Kardashian when she walks out the hotel and goes back for North?
Oh, swear. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's possible for us. Like, we do it all the time. Mm. I mean, but, like, God will never, like, God's not going to forget you. Like, you know.
Mate.
Like, even the fact of, like, obviously Jesus in heaven, he's still going to have those scars in his hand. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's always going to be, it sounds mad, but He's still gonna remember.
Mm-hmm.
He might not remember. It doesn't, you know, specifically describe whether he's gonna like remember everyone individually. But I wouldn't.
He knows me individually. He knows me individually, Cam.
No. But I'm saying, even the people that have passed and gone. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what I'm talking about. So like,
I don't think he'll forget him.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. On a deeper, that's on a real like deep level.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, you sinned against God, you've done all these things, and you're gone now, but God's still not going to forget you. That's the type of God that we serve. Like, he wants man to come to him, and he also wants man to come to him, and he's like, I think
it's crazy how
the time we approach God, like, on some timid thing, understandably, because we've sinned, but at the end of the day, we're serving a God that doesn't, like, you don't have to Like, he understands, he knows, he's seen you beat the girl, he's seen you do the thing, he's seen you rob from the shop.
By the way, beat doesn't mean beat, it means something else. Just for those who...
Oh, yeah.
Well, context. It could apply for both, actually.
True.
True.
Yeah, true. You know. Yeah, he's seen everything, so, yeah.
He's seen you, David and Bathsheba. Let's put it this way. He's seen you, David and Bathsheba. He's seen you, David and Uriah. He's seen you... What else?
He's seen you, Solomon and the woman.
He's seen you, Balaam. He's seen you, Jezebel. He's seen every single.
He's seen you, Judas.
He's
mate.
Seen you, Ju- he's why? Seen
Judas why? Bro, he's seen you, Judas, bro.
He has seen us, Judas. Lord have mercy.
Said us, you know.
Dos.
A man said us.
Even gossip. You see, everything God has seen. Everything.
Yeah. Big. Yeah.
Camera, stop gossiping, man.
When he was, and here's how Christ receives us when we come back to him. When we're approaching and he sees us a way off, a great way off. His father saw him. So this is the end of the story of the prodigal son. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And
well, he fell on his neck.
Yeah. The father he hugged him in essence. He hugged him.
Oh.
Is what that means. And kissed him.
Is he tripped over or something?
Nah. and the interesting thing is, here's the other thing that we need to accept. So there's the other thing that we need to accept is, I have no pleasure in the death of the of him that dieth, says the Lord. Wherefore turn. We need to accept God's will for our, like, that's the other, that's like probably the biggest thing, the biggest barrier between, is it? No, sin is the biggest. But like accepting God's will for our lives, or accepting God's will for us moment by moment, is one of, to me anyway, one of the hardest things, one of the hardest things that I ever experienced or feel. Shall I read the last paragraph?
Yeah, read the last paragraph. Yeah.
Yee. Okay.
Is it big?
Nana. Look up. Look up, you that are doubting and trembling, for Jesus lives to make intercession for us. Thank God for the gift of his dear Son, and pray that he may not have died for you and I in vain. The Spirit invites us today. We must come with our whole hearts to Jesus and claim his blessing. As we read the promises, remember they are the expression of utter love and pity. The great heart of infinite love is drawn toward the sinner with boundless compassion. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1 verse 7. Yes, only believe that God is our helper. He wants to restore us. He wants to restore his moral image in man. As we draw near to him with confession and repentance. Oh, all of these are so tied together. Confession and turning away from what we used to do. He will draw near to us with mercy and forgiveness. So we need to have faith in God and his promises, and we need to accept his gifts to us. Anyway,
like, it also, obviously, the urgency of it isn't tomorrow, it's today. So I think that's quite powerful as well, in terms
mate.
Of we need to. And I don't know what my prayer is gonna be tonight, but it's gonna be around faith. But like, I can't will faith to happen, if that makes sense. But I do have to start taking God at his word literally. Mm. So the promises that I read in the Bible, I have to just start believing them like a child, because mm-hmm. he asks us to believe like children, and not mm-hmm. not like us with all of our like, okay, let me take a second look at this. Mm. You know what I mean? We need to know, because we know who God is, we know yep. he's all powerful, and that yep. we need to stop questioning my man like that.
And we need to fight, like, man, Cal. We need to fight, because we read like awesome. As in we need to me part of the prayer is like, Lord, help me pray for your angels to help me when I need their help. Because like that, it's that, and to make, and also we need to pray that God helps us make the right decisions, as in to make the decisions that he wants us to make. Because when I think about it, everything is a decision. Like nothing, I've realized now that nothing just happens. Nothing, no sin just happens. It's a decision to, like, every weakness that we have.
It's someone's decision, but it may not be your decision. If that makes sense.
Wait, explain that.
So like,
to sin.
So yeah. So obviously, like this, I don't want to bring, but like, yeah, the situation okay. that happened like the other day in Mitcham. Nah, yeah, that situation of like that guy assaulting that girl. He made the decision, but it wasn't her decision to take part in that.
Ah, yeah. So, but she's not sinned in that circumstance.
No, I know, but like in terms of
The consequence of it.
If
I feel you.
Like so I don't want to make people feel like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, not even feel like.
Oh no, I just meant like the things that we choose to do are our responsibility. Yeah, 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 that's all I was saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But sometimes people sin, and the sins that they do and the things that people do affect us, and we have nothing to do with it. It's never our decision. You're right. I guess I was just referring to the things that that we're responsible for.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
There is a lot of personal accountability that we do need to take, but at the same time, we also need to realize that we're not able to fight off all of these things. So it's kind of like the pressure is off us. It's on God, because
it's also, I think, fight. Some of it is on a, like, because like, you know, no, the no, no, no. Do you remember that, like,
if it was a scale, if it was a scale, it would be like 70-30. It'd be like 70% us, or it'd be like 70% Jesus, 30% us, because 30% we have to actually, so we actually have to open up our Bible in order for, like, in order
for God to talk
learn
to us
about God.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. Not even for God to talk to us, but for us to learn about God. You know what I mean? We have
to. I would say it's even the way he talks to us.
Yeah, well, I'd say God can speak. God can do anything, can it? So
yeah,
he could speak to us. You know what I'm saying? But my point is in terms of
us, the action
trying,
that we do.
Us trying is about, on a scale of, in like percentages, like 30% us, 70% God. You have to help man out with this thing, because man can't do this thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel that.
Yeah.
I feel that.
But boy, man's gonna, I'm gonna faint, bro.
Go and eat, man.
You gonna start the recording?
I am, but we have to sign out somehow.
Wait, yo, so this has been another episode of the After Sun Non podcast with the full cast.
Oi, oi.
Yes. The full cast.
Nice to be back.
What else?
I'm sure the fans have missed me.
If there are any, like,
We don't know that, you know?
Comment down below. Lol, don't do that.
If there are any comments from this episode, we need to do something. I'm gonna put out an anonymous.
Dude, it's mad. We say this shit, but it ain't gonna happen.
No, I'm actually doing it. I'm putting out an anonymous form for people to, if they have, like, they can put in comments, questions, comments and questions, ideas so for
engages our listeners a bit more.
Yeah.
Yo guys, it's mad. Yeah, it's almost been a year. You know.
I know. I was literally thinking, it's gonna wait. When would the year be?
It's December.
I think it's the week of the 19th.
Are you sure? I think it's December. The 14th, you know.
It's the same week.
So either way, it's very close. What are we doing, guys, to celebrate? Can't we go out for a cheeky meal?
Yeah, quarantine will be done then.
We don't know that yet. We don't know that yet.
Yeah, with me, it'll be the 2nd of November. It's 2nd of December when we can be released from probation.
Yeah, I know.
So probation.
This is when the first episode came
out. The 9th of December.
Yeah.
Oh, shy. For November.
Yeah.
Okay, we can go up if you will.
Yeah. You know. So yeah, again, boom. This has been After Sundown podcast. You know, Cameron.
Mom's finest.
Sexy. You know, I'm actually sexy with hair and without hair. You know, it's actually crazy, bro.